Okay, so picture this. It's late, you're on the couch, maybe you got a cup of tea, and you turn on a nature documentary. On screen, the visuals are just absolutely 8K perfection. There's a
Right.
snow leopard, inching across a cliff face. You can see the individual frost crystals on its fur. It's stunning. But then you hear the voice.
And that's the make or break moment,
I mean,
isn't it?
it really is. Maybe it's David Attenborough, maybe it's Morgan Freeman, but instantly your heart rate actually drops. You feel the cold, you feel the tension. It just feels true.
Yeah.
But here's the question we're digging into today. Is that feeling coming from the words, or is it something else, something deeper in the sound waves themselves?
It's a great question. And honestly, I'd say the words are a distant second. It's all about the delivery, the resonance, and the spaces between the words. That's what
Oh.
signals truth to our brains.
And that is exactly what we're unpacking. We're doing a deep dive into mastering the art of AI documentary narration. And like,
Yeah.
before you think, oh, great, another robot voice deep dive, just hold on.
Yeah, this isn't Siri reading you a grocery list.
Not at all.
We're looking at how the 2026 AI models have, well, they've basically cracked the code of human nuance. We're not just talking about generating speech, we're talking about engineering a performance.
And we're going to break down the specific steps to actually completely fool the ear. We have a huge guide here on AI narration that covers everything from, the psychology of a trustworthy voice to the actual audio engineering
It's
settings.
this fascinating collision of psychology and hardcore audio mixing.
So our mission today is pretty simple. How do you take a digital voice and give it a soul? We'll cover the psychological pillars, the specific sliders you need to adjust to make it sound human.
Because the defaults are always wrong.
Always, and the post-processing secrets that apparently 90% of creators just miss.
Which is where the real magic happens. That last 10% is everything.
So let's dive in. The source material starts with this really bold rule right out of the gate. If you don't know what you're aiming for, you will miss.
Right. It's about defining the target. A documentary narrator isn't a YouTuber, they're not a news anchor. It's a very specific kind of performance.
And the guide lays out three psychological pillars that make up this voice. The first one is pacing, or as they call it, the pauses.
This is the number one mistake beginners make. They take a huge block of text, feed it into the AI, and hit generate.
And it just goes.
It just goes. It fires words like a machine gun. Bam, bam, bam.
It's trying to be efficient, right?
Exactly. But efficiency is the enemy of storytelling. You listen to someone like Attenborough. What do you hear?
The silence.
You hear the silence. He breathes between thoughts. He knows the visuals are doing the work, so he lets the silence do the heavy lifting. The voice is just the guide.
It feels like he's watching it with you, not lecturing you.
That's the key. It
Yeah.
creates a shared experience. If you rush, you break that.
Okay, so silence is power. Pillar two is dynamic range. This is about the drama.
Correct. Human speech is not linear. It isn't one volume. The source uses a great comparison here with semantic context. If you're describing a lion stalking its prey, how do you speak?
Tense, quiet, sharp, almost like I don't want the lion to hear me.
Precisely. You automatically go into this hushed, tight delivery. But what if you're describing a sunset over the ocean?
It's warmer, deeper, more philosophical, I guess.
Right.
Broad.
Now, early AI was stuck in monotone. It read the lion script and the sunset script the exact same way. But the 2026 models, they understand context. They know what the words mean, so they know when to whisper.
Which brings us to pillar three, the one I think we all recognize but maybe can't explain, low-end authority, or as I call it, the rumble.
Morgan Freeman effect.
Yes. Why does his voice make me feel like everything is going to be okay?
It's physics, but it's also, evolutionary biology. It's the resonance in the chest. Specifically, low-frequency vibrations around 80 to 150 hertz. When our brain hears that rumble, it triggers a response. It signals size, authority, and safety.
So we are hardwired to trust the rumble.
We are. Higher-pitched, frantic speech signals panic. Low-resonant speech signals control.
And the crazy thing is, we can actually engineer that later, which we'll get to. But first, let's talk tools. The source points to one heavy hitter right now, 11labs.
Specifically, their multilingual V2 and Turbo V2.5 models as the premium route.
But, and this is a huge but, the tool is only as good as what you feed it. There's this section called Garbage In, Garbage Out, and it highlights a mistake I bet thousands of people are making.
It's the sampling error. See, people think if they clone a voice, the AI just takes the sound, but it also mimics the delivery style of your sample.
They have this analogy that made me laugh, the football game. problem.
Right. So imagine you want to clone a voice. You go through your phone, find a video of your friend at a football game. They're shouting, go, run, catch it.
High energy, loud vocal cords are strange.
Exactly. You upload that. Then you type in a script about quantum physics. The AI is going to read that script as if it's at a football game.
And here comes the gazelle.
Precisely. It doesn't matter that the text is serious. The delivery model is stuck on shouting fan.
So it's locked into that emotional state.
Pretty much. It creates this weird cognitive dissonance.
So what's the fix? How do you get that neutral canvas?
You need a clean sample. The guide suggests recording yourself reading something incredibly boring and neutral. They actually suggest a Wikipedia article.
Just reading facts. Yep.
Calm, slow, articulate. That gives the AI a flexible model. You want to give the clay, not the finished sculpture.
That makes total sense. Okay, so you have your clean sample, you're in the dashboard, the voice lab. This is where it gets technical and honestly really interesting, the magic sliders.
This is the generation panel. And the source warns that most people fail here because they just leave everything on default.
Let's unpack these because this is the secret sauce. First one is stability.
Think of stability as the chaos meter. Mm-hmm. Or maybe a consistency meter. If you set this to 100%.
Sounds good, right? 100% stable. That's what you want.
You'd think so. But humans aren't stable. If I speak with 100% stability, I sound like a GPS. Turn. Left. The light. No variation. It hits the uncanny valley instantly.
It sounds robotic because it's too perfect.
Exactly. It lacks the micro jitters of human speech.
Okay, so we turn it down.
You have to.
Yeah.
But if you go too low, say 30%, it becomes incredibly expressive. It includes breath sounds, maybe some vocal fry, that creaky sound. But it's prone to hallucinations.
Hallucinations. Like it sees things.
Like it might say a word that isn't there or laugh randomly. It becomes, well, unstable.
So where's the sweet spot for a documentary? We want serious but human.
The formula in our source is 35 to 45%. You actually want the imperfections, the little breaths, the slight cracks in the tone. Those are the things that make the brain say, oh, that's a human.
That's wild. So we're engineering imperfection to create trust. What about the next slider, similarity?
This one controls how much the AI tries to stick to the original audio file you uploaded.
And I'm guessing 100% is bad here too.
It is, but for a different reason. At 100%, the AI tries to replicate everything, including the background noise, the fan in your room.
So it clones the bad stuff with the good stuff.
Exactly. It just lowers the clarity. The sweet spot here is around 75%. It grabs the character of the voice, but leaves the noise behind.
Okay, 75. And the last one, style exaggeration.
This forces the AI to act more. It pushes the intonation, makes the highs higher and the lows lower.
How much acting do we want?
For a dramatic nature doc, the recommendation is about 20%.
Why not higher? If we want drama, why not crank it to 50?
The source has a funny warning here. It says if you go any higher, the AI starts sounding drunk or unstable.
The lion is stumbling.
Yeah, I can see how that would break the immersion.
It just loses the thread. It starts overemphasizing random words. Subtle is better.
Now, even with perfect settings, sometimes the AI just... it doesn't get the joke right. Or the irony.
That's the limitation of text-to-speech. It understands words, but not always the subtext. It doesn't know why a moment is sad. And that's where this next feature comes in. The source calls it the secret weapon, speech-to-speech.
This is a game changer. Instead of typing your script, you record yourself acting out the lines.
Wait, so if I record it, why do I need the AI? Why not just use my recording?
Because maybe you don't have the voice of a 60-year-old seasoned explorer. You provide the performance, the timing, the little laughs, the whispers, and the AI provides the timbre.
Oh, I love that. So I'm the actor and the AI is the makeup or the costume.
Exactly. And it solves the pacing issue instantly because you're controlling the pauses physically.
But let's say you're sticking to text, you can still direct the AI, right? The source talks about prompt engineering, but for the ear.
Yes. And this is a crucial mindset shift. You have to stop thinking of punctuation as grammar. In this context, it's musical notation.
Give me an example. How does a comma sound different to an AI?
For the AI, a comma is a command. Insert micropause here. You use it to break up the flow. Even if a sentence doesn't grammatically need a comma, you might put one in just to force the AI to take a beat.
And the ellipsis. The dot, dot, dot.
That's your dramatic pause. The creature waited, watching. Mm. It builds tension. The AI reads those dots as a long silence.
The source also mentioned the dash.
The dash creates a sudden tone shift, a hard break. And quotation marks are interesting.
Yeah.
The AI often automatically shifts its tone when it sees them to distinguish a character from the narrator.
It's like you're conducting an orchestra with your keyboard.
You really are. You can even type pause in brackets to force it to slow down.
Okay, so that's the premium route. But what if you're on a budget? Or you're a tech wizard who wants to run stuff locally?
Then you take the hacker route.
Yeah.
The source points to Open Voice.
This was developed by MIT researchers, right?
Yes. And it introduces a fascinating concept, the tone color converter.
Tone color? That sounds like music theory. Break that down.
Think of it like an instrument. You can play Happy Birthday on a flute, and you can play it on a tuba.
Okay.
The melody is the same. That's the content, the words, the phonemes. But the sound, the airy flute versus the brassy tuba, that's the tone color.
So Open Voice separates the what from the who.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It rips them apart. This allows for what they call zero-shot cross-lingual voice cloning, which is a fancy way of saying you can take a sample of a Japanese anime character.
Which, speaking Japanese.
And make them speak fluent English, but keeping that exact vocal texture, the AI paints the tuba sound onto the flute melody.
That's mind-bending.
Right. And since running it locally is, you know, heavy coding, the source suggests a tool called MyShell. It offers a web interface where you can essentially paint the tone of a reference voice onto a source voice.
It's like a deep fake face swap, but for audio.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so we've generated our audio. We use the sliders to get the perfect imperfection. We hit download. We're done, right?
Absolutely not.
I knew you were going to say that.
This is the step the source claims 90% of creators skip. And it's why their stuff sounds good, but not Netflix good. Raw AI audio is just, it's dry and sterile.
It sounds digital. Boom. Like it's coming from a computer, not a room.
Exactly. It lacks physical space. To get that BBC sound, you need the documentary chain. This is post-processing in something like Audacity or Adobe Audition.
Let's walk through the chain. Step one.
De-clicking and de-essing.
De-essing sounds like we're removing snakes.
Close. We're removing the hiss. AI can leave tiny digital clicks, and sometimes the S sounds, the sibilants, are really harsh. They pierce the ear.
Why does that happen?
It's just an artifact of the generation and how microphones pick up high frequencies. If you don't soften them, the listener will physically wince every time you say snake or silence. It causes ear fatigue.
Step two, my favorite part, the EQ, sculpting the sound.
This is where we build that authority. First, a high-pass filter. Cut everything below 80 hertz.
Wait, hold on. We just talked about the rumble. Why are we cutting the bass?
It sounds counterintuitive, I know. But below 80 hertz is usually just mud. It's mic bumps, room hum. It takes up energy but adds no value. You clean that out so the real bass can shine.
Ah, so we're clearing the floor so the furniture looks better.
Exactly. And then comes the Voice of God boost.
Love that name.
You boost the frequencies between 100 and 150 hertz just by 2 or 3 dB. That adds that chesty resonance we talked about.
And to keep it understandable.
You add a clarity boost, a shelf boost around 4 to 5 kilohertz. That makes the articulation crisp, so you have the rumble and the clarity.
Okay, so we've EQ'd it. Step three is compression.
Essential. You don't want the listener turning up the volume for a whisper and then getting their eardrums blown out by a shout.
I hate when that happens.
Compression squashes the dynamic range, brings the quiet parts up, the loud parts down. A ratio of 3 to 1 or 4 to 1 is what the source recommends.
It makes the voice sound present and consistent. Puts the narrator right in your ear.
Exactly. Gives it that broadcast feel.
And the final touch.
Reverb. But be very careful here.
We don't want it to sound like they're in a cathedral.
No. Unless the doc is about cathedrals. For narration, you want a subtle room or studio reverb. Maybe a 5 to 10% mix. Just enough to trick the brain into thinking this voice was recorded in a physical space, not a vacuum.
It grounds it in reality.
It glues the voice to the music and sound effects. Without it, the voice sits on top of the mix. With it, the voice sits inside the mix.
Now, before we wrap, we have to touch on the danger zone, because this tech is powerful and, frankly, a little scary.
It is. The ethics are crucial. First rule is consent.
Never clone a voice without permission.
Unless it's a public figure, but even then, it's a gray area. For non-public figures, it's invasive, potentially illegal.
And then there's the deepfake trap.
Using these tools for misinformation or hate speech is a massive no-go, and the platforms are cracking down. 11 Labs actually has audio watermarking now.
How does that work?
It embeds an invisible signal into the audio. You can't hear it, but a computer can detect it and trace it back to the account that generated it. anonymity isn't guaranteed.
And the source also emphasizes transparency.
Yes. Just be honest with your audience. Put a disclaimer in the description. Narration generated using AI tools. It builds trust. If you try to hide it and get caught, you lose your audience instantly.
It's better to say, hey, I'm using this cool tech, rather than, hey, I tricked you.
Precisely. Audiences appreciate the craft if you're open about it.
So we've gone from the psychology of the pause to the physics of the rumble all the way to the ethics of the clone. It is a lot more than just typing text into a box.
It's really an art form. It's digital puppetry. You're pulling the strings of a synthetic performance.
The source material actually gave us a mission for today, something for you, the listener, to try.
Right. If you want to hear the difference, go to 11 Labs, use the free tier, and grab a paragraph from a book generated twice.
Once at stability 100%. The robot.
And once at stability 35%. The human.
Listen to the breath. Listen to the mistakes. Listen to how it handles the commas. That's where the soul is.
It's a great experiment. It changes how you hear everything.
I want to leave you with a thought to mull over. Next time you're watching a documentary, maybe about space or the deep ocean, close your eyes for a second. And just listen to the voice.
Really listen.
Can you hear the ghost in the machine? Is that a human connecting with you? Or is it a perfectly engineered set of frequencies designed by us to make you trust it?
And if you can't tell the difference, does it matter?
That is the question. Thanks for diving deep with us.
See you next time.